Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, and join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hello, you. I am Pete Donaldson from the Football Ramble. We're going to start the Football Ramble in just a second. But first, it is a quick note about the Leicester City Dean Windass Hall of Fame induction that just got served up into your podcast feed. That little advert. Basically, this is the deal. And let me tell you, my friends, it's a good one. You know how every couple of months we release a paid-for special? It's usually something like the highlights of a live show or a Christmas party show or something like that. Well, we're going to be bringing you a special once a month, every month for the next 12 months. This will be available on iTunes and through PayPal and all the ways you've been able to access it before for £2.49. Everything the same as it was. The good news is, for those of you who hate ads, and there are a few of you, you can subscribe to us through the Acast app for £1.99 a month, which gives you access to the show ad-free, plus you get the specials thrown in as well, a little bit earlier and a little bit cheaper than everyone else. For those of you who just listen through iTunes or however you get the Football Ramble usually, nothing is going to change. You'll still get your usual rambles on Tuesday and Friday morning for free. But if you want the specials and an ad-free Football Ramble, get yourself the Acast app and get yourself the Acast Plus version of the show. £1.99 per month. Our first special is available now. It's one in which we induct the Leicester City team of 2016 into the Dean Windass Hall of Fame. We'll be right back.
the morning. Don't say you love me, because I'll only kick you out the door, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller, and I'm joined by Jim Campbell.
Hello, a real insight into your personal life there. Mm.
Influenced by Pards. Luke Moore's here.
Was that Rod Stewart?
It was.
All right.
And Pete Donaldson.
Hello, Marcus. I'm all warmed up, because I did me talking a bit at the start.
You're damn right, you
love
did.
Love a bit of commercial messaging, nice and early.
Stay with me.
One thing we've learned about working with Pete, do not dare get him to do anything serious within the show itself.
Yeah, exactly.
Very, very much border it off.
Quarantine it.
It's like a dog eating his dinner. Got to concentrate.
You got anything more to add to it? No, I wouldn't trust you to do it now.
No, everything's fine.
He's fizzing. And let's see what he's got to answer. For the opening question, after the FA Cup final was done and dusted, of course, both managers would have had differing emotions, you would think. If you could have taken out Pards to console him or Louis van Gaal to celebrate, what kind of evening would you have given your chosen man, Jim?
Well, I'd go with LVG. and obviously, it must have been a very emotional evening for him because he knew at that point it was over pretty much as soon as the final whistle went. Jose's like, release the news now. Don't even let him have this. Let him have nothing. Let's overshadow it.
He's a little Portuguese. He's a little Dutch slug. I don't want him to enjoy anything.
His little fingers over the top of the cliff stamp on him.
Have that, you Dutch melt.
Yeah.
Dutch melt, oh dear.
Yeah, all of those things.
Yeah.
So what I would do is, obviously he'd want to be consoled, but also he'd want to celebrate. It'd be a conflicting thing. So I would simply get some booze. There'd be plenty of champagne lying around. Myself, LVG, whoever he wants to bring along, we're off down the nearest saxophone shop. You know what I mean? He loves the lady with the saxophone at the end of season awards last season. Yeah. You know, and we just have a lovely old time. We pay off whoever works there. It's like, look, you can join in if you want. Tonight, this is ours. We just play saxophones all night.
Yeah.
Glug champagne out of them.
Would you have
him? Phone.
It would be amazing.
Would you have him on top of a quite a tall building in Manchester with him silhouetted by the moon?
Yeah, absolutely.
Playing the sax.
That's what he wanted. It's his night.
Reedy weekend.
I think Louis van Gaal is the type to get quite aggressive when he's a bit drunk.
God, I mean, well, in a post-match interview, imagine drunk.
But I mean, he would no longer be able to temper or see the boundaries.
Yeah, right.
He would hug you too hard. He'd like clip you around the back of the head, but it would be really hard.
Yeah.
I think you being locked in a saxophone shop with Louis van Gaal overnight. You'd be not
mate,
make
I
it
am not locking that door.
Fair enough. as he grabs the key, he just swallows it. Tonight, you play with me.
Oh, dear.
Excellent. I like that. Luke?
I've gone down the Pards route.
Of course you have.
And I'm absolutely delighted I'm the first person on the show to get to mention this. I thought it would have been long gone by now. That train would have left the station ages ago. But I've got my ticket.
Yeah.
And I'm on board.
Uh-huh.
I am going to address the elephant in the room.
Mm. Of course you are.
The 54-year-old Alan Pardew. And his attempt to some sort of like ersatz R&B sort of breakdown.
Cutting the turf.
And it was a breakdown.
It was.
Let's be clear.
Oh, my God.
I think what I would do is an act of charity and an act of mercy for Pards. He said, I'll take him out on one of those extreme makeover shows so that he and get him all the plastic surgery, the hair change, everything, so he would never have to live that down ever again.
Okay.
And he could live in relative anonymity out in South America somewhere.
Yeah, but he wouldn't, though, because he would still be Pards.
Well, I'd sit him down. I'd say, no. He'd say that to me. I'm still... No, you're not anymore. You've gone too far now.
Yeah.
It's the end of it. You've jumped the shark. You're not Pars anymore. No one is. Pars doesn't exist anymore.
Mm. It's not a technical dance floor.
Exactly. And I do that thing they do in Men in Black, where they burn off all their fingerprints. So they no longer got an identity.
I'm going to wipe his mind.
I'll do it for the good of humanity.
Yeah, okay.
It needs to be done. Because that dance... And we ought to have a laugh on this show.
Mm-hmm.
People turn this show on. They'd like to have a laugh. And fair enough, we'll give them a laugh if we can.
The fun's over.
For the next minute or so, we are not having a laugh because that was a disgrace.
No, don't encourage him. Don't encourage him. You're playing into this 2016 animated GIF style of football.
Don't you realise, though, that dance, it affirmed everything that we've been saying about him.
And without further ado, here he is. Our first Bumpty special is an interview with Alan Pardew. Partridge, it worked.
Interchangeable. Yeah. Interchangeable. I just put him in like one of those Sulo bins and just hit him with a cricket bat and say, just shout intermittently, it's not always about you, Alan. It's not always about you.
Well, how about your answer?
No, that's not my answer.
People in glass houses, Dawson. Get a bit of that medicine yourself.
I'll be in the bin with them.
Yeah, right.
I didn't say from what position I'd be hitting it with a cricket bat.
Smash your way out of the bin with Alan Pardew.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that.
Inside Lou Van Gaal's saxophone shop.
Oi, oi, oi.
Peter.
I would get, you know, like...
Oh,
Louis
sorry,
Van...
Pete, before you go on to your answer, if we talk about GIFs and Pardew and all the GIFs that have gone around. No one's done a GIF of Van Gaal playing the saxophone with Pardew dancing to it. Mm. Get on that.
Yeah.
That's the angle.
I think modern football media is just a bloke in a room working for the Sun or Lad Bible, just sticking heads on people. In After Effects, just matting out a load of heads and sticking them on other people's heads, like you know, people from films and stuff.
It's pathetic. Absolutely pathetic, and I'm not just saying that because I don't have the skill set to do it.
I do, and a recent Ramble Live, I think I did it, so good. Yeah, yeah. I put Mitrovic's head on Shearer's.
We're up against it time-wise.
Yeah.
Deadlines will come in, and we have to get it done.
LVG with his MSG. You know, at the end of... what's that film where Al Pacino goes, say hello to my little friend?
Oh, Scarface.
Scarface. He's at the end and he's got piles of cocaine and he's got a big gun. It would just be LVG in the Man United chairman's office, just piles and piles of MSG. Because he likes his Chinese food.
Mr. Wings?
Yeah. He loves it. So just piles and piles of monosodium glutamate just everywhere.
What yeah, depending on... Yeah. With one arm, the FA Cup tucked under one arm.
Yeah. Looking at his reflection in it.
Could you give him one of those big fat burgers they find in the sewers under Chinatown in London, where people keep pouring the fat down the drain?
Right.
Give him one of them as well.
Why? What's that for?
What's that for? Do you know what a fat burger is?
Yeah, I understand the concept.
It's like a congealed mass of fat and toilet roll.
I didn't know.
Alan Pardew is for short.
I'd not heard that, but marvellous.
They're a real problem.
That's the thing about the Football Ramble. You do pick up useless bits of information.
I've patented an underwater chainsaw.
Have you?
To get rid of that.
Excellent. I would take Louis Van Gaal out on the town. We go to Mr. Wings. He's earned that.
Mm. Yeah.
He's very much earned that. But he knew.
Would you tearfully request his favourite table for the final time?
Yeah. Well, let me tell you something. He's won the cup. He'll go to Mr. Wings, and obviously he knew that was his last game in charge of Manchester United. So now he just doesn't give a damn, and he's thinking to himself, you know what? If this restaurant's not my victory parade, then it's nobody's victory parade. Out come the baseball bats, and basically smash the place up with Louis Van Gaal.
Yeah, okay.
Shouting, Louis Van Gaal's army!
I like the way you said that he doesn't care anymore, in the way that he was like making out that he was very conscientious when he was manager. Yeah. Which is patently untrue. He has never given a shit at any point.
His last game at the club, he's won one of the greatest and oldest cup competitions in world football.
Yeah.
It's kind of a Louis Van Gaal trophy, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, nobody really respects it as much anymore.
True. Yeah, that's not...
But there's a certain magic to it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Mm. But I think at any point now, at least Van Gaal can, if anyone sort of tries to criticise his tenure at Man United, he can just go ding, ding, ding on the side of the replica FA Cup and know that have in his trophy cabinet.
Melt down the FA Cup and make a saxophone out of it.
Yeah.
Just attach a reed.
I think Jim's got the points.
Is a saxophone a reed instrument?
Yeah, it is.
Isn't it? Yeah, okay, yeah.
Of course it is.
Well done, Jim. Sorry,
thanks,
Matt.
Guys. Well done, Jimmy. Well done. Right, well, Manchester United obviously won the FA Cup after extra time. Took him all the way. Mourinho, obviously, we'll come on to him in just a sec. But let's talk about the little dance. Mm. Or have we talked about it too much?
Was it your answer? Was it
I
a
don't
cry
think
for
we
help?
Can talk about it too much.
I mean, it was a cry for help.
The thing is...
I don't know if he knew it was a cry for help. That's the thing.
The thing is, it's a proper.
It was an unfettered invitation to an intervention.
What I don't understand,
it's the actions
though.
Of a man on the way to a Harley Davidson dealership. In his 50s.
But you're right, though. But think about it.
It was the behaviour. I'm not finished. Okay. It was the behaviour of a man who belongs on the fringes of this society. Not a 54. He is.
I know. But
do you know what he's driven me to? Uh-huh. On the way over here, I thought about looking up other 54-year-old men and trying to find the most dignified ones I could to compare to him. Couldn't find any.
No?
But that's not the point.
No. Hey, he's 54. He's 1-0 up in an FA Cup final. What have you ever done?
No, nothing. Nothing.
But the thing is...
Not that fucking dance.
Oi. What I find funny, though, is how unnatural that should be, that reaction.
Yeah.
Any other manager...
Yes.
It's too under control, it's too pre-planned.
Yes.
Usually when something like that happens, you're out of control, you're jubilant. Yeah. But again, Pardew proves it's all about him.
Let down the camera.
That's right, but just to finish, let me say, any other manager, as you say, Pete, it's a jubilant celebration. Any other manager thinks, get in there, we're ahead, right, heads on, that kind of thing.
He's not a beloved character, and that's something he needs to remember.
Yeah.
He's not earned the fucking thing.
Do you know what it reminded
Klopp
me of?
Klopp earned it.
Do you know what it reminded me
of? He got to finals of European competitions.
If you want to get in touch, the email address
is... Pardew is an unfettered cunt.
Yeah.
Oh, Luke, please.
It reminded me of when Hull were promoted to the Premier League a couple of years ago, and Elmer and everyone was dancing around in the changing room when they found out. And Elmer Hamady, at the corner of his eye, saw a camera, and he immediately broke away from the group, celebrating naturally and impulsively, and just did like a dance similar to Pardew's one, right in front of the camera. In front of everyone.
At least he's played, though. At least he's earned it by being on the field.
But that's it, Luke. When you said that it's a natural and impulsive kind of reaction that the Hull City players
look at
are doing.
Look at Marco Tardelli.
There you go. But if you think about it, which kind of footballers often do that, the funny little dances and whatnot? Maybe if they've scored to make the game 4-0 at home or something. Yeah. Or like Ronaldinho, where clearly that's what he is.
Yeah, Daniel Sturridge, he does it all the time.
Right.
It's a deliberately, almost knowingly sort of flash thing to do, isn't
it? Yeah. But Paz, it was like... Oh my God, you're on the verge of creating history. I don't think Palace have won a major trophy in their history. You were on the verge, and that's how you react.
No, he's done it in the mirror before, though.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
This is it.
With his knob out.
He's trying to make it. He's trying to make it the Pardew final, isn't he? He's trying to get that little moment in so it becomes the big thing everyone talks about, the iconic moment afterwards. And his team haven't won, so he looks even sillier. I love the way that Pardew was saying as well after the game, and just around the game in general, that Crystal Palace are like a street team, as if they'd have won if it was in the car park.
I know a lot of like Crystal Palace fans, and when that happened, I thought they're going to lose this now. And every person I knew, like I met Ben, right, Chris, like I just knew for their sake he was going to fucking lose it. Because he lost it on the touchline, this stupid fucking dance.
Do we need to get the cattle prod?
Can you have a word with him?
What? Pards?
What?
Pards or Pete?
Because the editor's got a lot of work to do.
Yeah,
already. We're only about 10 minutes in.
That's right. Now, Peter,
download the Aircast Premium version of the Football Ramble. There's like loads more swearing.
That's right. Yeah, but where Pete really gives his opinion on Pardew.
I thought you were going to say there's no swearing.
Yeah, I've got the Pardew special.
You have.
That's going to be next month's special.
He just did it on his own.
The Pardew special is definitely a sex move. He has taken.
And it involves that dance.
Oh dear, but for poor old Palace, when Punchin got that goal to make it
1-0. All the players as well. Someone, you know, he had that moment earlier in the season where he hadn't played for a while, he'd been out of the team, he scored, was really emotional. Clearly it means a lot to him.
It was a smashing goal.
It was a great goal, and you thought 12 minutes left, and immediately Manchester United equalise a couple of minutes later.
Yeah.
And it's a sign of a team who don't win much when after the game, you know, one or two Palace fans, they go, oh, gutted, but they were like... But those 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's what annoys me when you get a friend of mine, he supports, you know, one of the huge clubs in this country, and they'll get to latter stage of the Champions League, or they'll win the cup, or if they win the league 2 years in a row and then don't get it the third, oh, it's a disgrace, we need a new forward, just shut up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, listen, the poor old Palace fans, they just, well, at least we had 2 minutes. Do you know what I mean? And that's what it is for most fans. They got to the cup final. Like
8 seconds of those 2 minutes was ruined by Alan Pardew. They're down to 1:52 already.
But it's true, and it was
he had a time on at the end.
Yeah.
Great for Wan Mata, because that's probably the last time he'll play for Manchester United.
I'll tell you what, Wayne Rooney's work in the build-up for that was vintage Wayne Rooney.
Maybe
what you might actually be good in the Euros.
What an incredible pass, though.
Superb.
It's a bit like...
Can I just pull him out? You thinking he might actually be good in the Euros, and there's the danger.
I was about to say, I'm embracing it.
We're going to win it.
Jim,
England are going to win it.
This is like when England beat Germany, and as Luke said, this is the last thing we need. The last thing we need is people like Rooney start playing well and all that kind of stuff.
But no, he's going to rampage through Europe.
So it's very generous of Jack Wilshere to not do that the next day.
But what a goal from Jesse Lingard to win it.
Yeah, though. On the punching goal, I don't know if you guys feel the same, but I felt that it was like a fairly poor first touch. And so it looked to me like he just thought, I'm going to rifle this.
It sort of bounced in. Yeah. It was really... Yeah.
Well, you see, De Gea didn't he kind made of expect it.
No, he didn't. He made up for it. And I wanted a bit of a flashpoint that everyone was talking about.
Clattenburg.
On Twitter. And I rewatched the final today. And... professional, and
I've got a full-time job.
He literally does.
Yeah. I know you do.
Stain on you do.
Look at his face.
The thing is, I know that you all know that, but listeners don't. And that is a besmirching of my reputation. Yeah,
lives in a bin.
I had to jump in for Luke there.
But you can't live in a bin and have a job.
All right, fine, all right.
With the rent in London, some have to.
I was just going to say that a lot of people were blown up in that and criticising Mark Clattenburg for that lack of advantage. But if you watch it again, he blows very early for the foul, but no one hears it.
Right.
And I think he blows so early, and maybe it's a bit of a criticism of him and his performance in that area, because it shows that he should have played the advantage, but he blew way early, and I think a lot of people realised before he could even see the advantage, and no one heard it. They just carried on, so he had to blow again. So it looked like it was
being
pulled back.
Was that the Wickham one?
Yeah, the
Commonwealth. Well, because I thought he blew early for the other one. On the other wing.
I didn't hear that.
Because, I mean, De Gea made very little effort to actually stop it. You could see he thought that, you know,
I didn't think it was going to be a goal. I just thought the advantage was there, that people were criticising and saying the referee's got to play on there. But I just genuinely think he blew early enough to give the foul, which he's entitled to do. Because you can't expect a referee to not blow for every single infringement in case there's an advantage. That's not really how it works. So I thought I'd try and redress the balance
a little bit. It was a frustrating one, with the way it panned out. But as you say, if you look at the finer details, it's just an unfortunate one.
Yeah, I mean, I do think Palace can feel hard done by now, though. It's a tough thing to take. I mean,
Smalling was sent off as well. That was a funny one, I thought.
Get out of the way.
Yeah. But I thought Smalling there, it wasn't... There was still a little bit of time to be played, and there was still a little bit of the field to go before Palace were in on goal. It was a funny decision.
Very poor judgment, wasn't it, from Smalling, I think, in making that decision.
Yeah, I thought so as well. But I thought it was a decent final. Palace gave a great account of themselves. And they will feel so gutted, of course, because they went ahead. You know, it's different if it's they go 1-0 down and then they bring it back to 1-1. But, I mean, do you think the right team won in the end?
It's a lovely finish, lovely goal.
It was.
Three great goals, though, to be fair.
It was just like a one-inch punch, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It
came from nowhere. Kind
of the very essence of a snapshot.
Yeah, no back lift or anything, yeah.
Yeah, true enough. I mean, Clattenburg obviously was in charge. He's in charge of the Champions League final and one of two of England's officials going to the Euros. So they obviously see potential. Yeah. not potential, they see the finished product. Yeah. I was going to say, well, give me the Champions League final, see how you get on.
They probably penciled in the English ref in about September. We don't have a chance. This.
Well, Man City nearly made them.
Did they, though?
No. Well, they got the semi-finals.
Is that enough?
Well, nearly.
To affect the final referee choice?
It isn't.
No.
All right.
Then please continue.
And we all move on. It's all over for Louis van Gaal, though. Yeah, he's delivered a trophy. But it's not enough, because Mourinho's surely coming in.
Yeah. Imagine if he didn't come in now. Imagine if they just mugged him off completely.
That'd be hilarious. What I find quite funny is that van Gaal was sacked. I think that was when it was kind of like he was done. I got the impression that it would be sort of mutual consent, that he thought to himself, you know, I've won a trophy. Clearly, I'm quite unpopular here.
Van Gaal's not going for that.
No, I know he's not. He made them sack him.
But one thing that is worth pointing out, and it happened around the Moyes situation as well, of Manchester United. A lot of people don't pick up on the fact that United have to report to the stock exchange. So they can't put out statements, different bits and pieces, without thinking about it carefully. So a lot of people were saying, oh, I hadn't put anything out, saying they weren't. They weren't looking for another manager, and they weren't doing this, and they were backing Louis van Gaal because it wasn't true. Whereas another club who maybe aren't as big as Manchester United, who can get away with that sort of stuff, and just the old dreaded vote of confidence and all that sort of stuff that didn't come out from United, probably because they didn't want to lie to investors and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want investors to get cold feet because they didn't want the thing to continue with van Gaal at the helm. So I think they had to do the way they had to do it.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people saying it was quite poor, the way that van Gaal was...
Yeah, exactly, and that's what I'm saying. I think there was a reason for it. I'm not defending it.
It's quite Real Madrid-esque, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess
so. Was it the one the Champions League with them? Was it Del Bosque?
And
it was Del Bosque.
And Heinkes did as well, and they got five.
Yeah. Barely has the champagne begun to dry on the man's suit. Yeah,
good,
well, that's
easy.
Yeah.
don't even let him in the changing room. You're done.
My key card isn't working. How do I get out?
Yeah. Well, according to the Mail as well, they gave Mourinho £4 million to not take a job elsewhere while the club decided what they were going to do on Van Gaal's future. I mean,
why was he piping up so much then? Why was his agent piping up so much?
Well, he wanted more than £4
million. Yeah. Mendes was playing massive brinkmanship with United. He really was, I think.
Oh, completely, yeah.
We talked about Renato Sanchez going to Bayern Munich and all that type of stuff.
We certainly did. I mean, Mourinho very much looks like he's coming in after what would appear a very unpopular stint from Louis van Gaal. Very interesting article in The Guardian by Daniel Taylor, where he really maps it out on a lot of the players' feelings. I mean, it was very strange. Just to give you a few little highlights from that article, van Gaal would conduct evaluation sessions after games, not immediately after games, where the whole squad were there, and he would chastise players in front of everybody. And I think according to Taylor, a couple of the senior players, like Rooney and Carrick, went to him and said, you know, this isn't a good idea. Now, this is strange. This is classic van Gaal stuff. So he would send them an email, an individual email, with video clips and all this, saying, I didn't like this, and blah, 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 blah. But the players just got so bored of it, they just wouldn't look at the emails and stuff.
Spam filter.
Well, yeah, but now, according to the article, again, I'll go back to, this is brilliant. Is this possible? Van Gaal put in like some kind of tracker system so he could tell if the email had been opened and how long it had been looked for.
You can do that.
Okay, yeah. So that's what he did. Yeah. And so he knew if the players hadn't bothered looking or had just owned it for 30 seconds
probably,
and that was it.
Probably use a MailChimp.
You could.
We do that with a ramble, so anybody who downloads it who doesn't listen to it, we know. All right?
Yeah, we're not going to about it, but we just know.
I found that really, really funny. But then the players, of course, got wind of this, so they would open the email and just leave it open for about 20 minutes. And then
20 minutes? Is that... how long must the email to mean? If
to be fair,
20 minutes,
well,
however
long. You could just tell the players that you do that. I mean, you don't need necessarily... Yeah. It's all in the trust system, and footballers are stupid, so you just go, yeah. Yeah.
But this is it, though. There was some odd tactics for him. Apparently, he was telling players to have a touch. If a ball came into the box, not to shoot first time, always to have a touch.
It's so odd, that.
Little things like that. Wingers, don't beat your fullbacks in front of you. Wait for your own fullbacks to give you support. All this kind of stuff.
But you could see that they were restricted. Yeah. They played within themselves so much all season.
They did.
It was just so uncharacteristic of Man United and just bizarre to watch. And
it's nice to see somebody following their manager's instructions, to be fair.
Well, that's why Fellaini got picked. According to Taylor was saying, that's why Fellaini got picked so much, because apparently he listened to the instructions and carried it out.
I imagine,
on the
though, that all the instructions Fellaini had were just wreak havoc.
Yeah.
Well, I'm always fairly sort of cynical about these type of newspaper stories.
Well, I am as well.
Because
but that's very specific detail. You can't make that up.
No, but in my limit...
Well, you very much can.
But you can't, Jim.
But in my limit...
He stole all of our trousers. There you go.
But in my limit experience of how that sort of stuff works, the sources they tend to get for this sort of stuff are invariably players who aren't being picked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they're more likely to talk and give them a story. And then so, I mean, this all could be true, I suppose, but... It could be a little bit spun and be
the
not...
Source,
yeah.
The source was Demphis Mapai, so... But it's worth checking out, because I thought the whole email track of his, I thought, that's definitely true.
Can you imagine Wan-Massa when he found out that Van Gaal had been fired? That's me. I don't believe it.
Yeah.
Mourinho's coming in.
Mourinho's like a clown that haunts Wan-Massa with P45s.
Yeah. It's like a horror movie.
It really is. But if you know,
Mourinho is Wan-Massa's Jason Voorhees from Friday the 13th.
Just appearing in a clearing in the forest.
Yeah. Wherever
with
he is.
A fax machine. Right, you are leaving.
Just going, no.
My career's winding down now, and I love living in England. I think I'm going to go and play for Forest Green Rovers next. Does his pre-season, turns up on the first day. Jose Mourinho's a manager. What is happening here?
I'd like it if Mourinho in his first team talk came in and said, right, I'm looking forward to you all. It's going to be a great time, blah, 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 blah. And then just looked at Wan-Mata, chucked him a China brochure, and then went, anyway, so let's get on with it. Anyway, we're going to talk about England versus Turkey after this. Watch out now, it's been two or two, and all the streets company but fools around.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Any more for any more on Manchester United before we move on?
Nope.
No.
Well, it's worth saying that Marcus Rashford was 6 years old the last time they won the FA Cup.
Is that right?
Wow. Yeah, and it's been 12 years since United won. It's the first time Wayne Rooney's won it as
that
well.
That is very interesting.
Yeah. I mean, Rooney's won everything now with them, isn't it, apart from the Europa League?
Do you think Palace fans will take consolation for that?
No, I didn't think so. No.
Yeah, we're all agreed there then.
Yeah.
England played the mighty Turkey, who hadn't lost in 18 months, and they got put to the sword as well, didn't they?
Slade.
It's 2-1.
Yeah.
Two ruddy one.
What's the point of even turning up, Turkey? Pathetic.
Signed by St George. Your patron saint.
Yeah. you've wasted our Sunday afternoon.
That's right. St George, of course, from modern-day Turkey, Jim. And it's very, very important to point out.
I forgot that they were playing, and I turned on and went, what is happening here?
Everyone forgot they were playing, because it was
the day after the FA Cup.
The most ridiculous scheduling of an England game I've ever seen. I genuinely think that was a mistake.
Yeah, you said that.
They just couldn't go back on it.
Well, schedules, Wembley's got to do. No, it's not Wembley, wasn't it? They had a Stereophonics and playing. Squeeze it in.
Yeah. Stereophonics need a warmer hat. We've got England. Yeah, fine. Kane scored early on, didn't he? Vardy scored late on.
Mm. I thought there was a bit too much. For some reason, it seemed like they'd made a decision. And I wonder if this is a little bit of a sort of red herring ahead of people who are watching England to prepare to play against them in the Euros, because maybe obviously Rooney will come in and he'll take a lot more of that responsibility. They looked to Harry Kane for everything.
They did, yeah.
And he took every free kick. He was obviously on the penalty, which he missed. I know Rooney would have taken that if he was playing, but it made me think, and maybe I'm barking at the wrong tree here, but it made me think, why do England always have to pile a load of focus on rely on one player so much?
Talismanic complex.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And especially,
there's no need for it.
And especially when they looked a lot better when Vardy and him were playing next to each other, pretty much, on the same level. Because they just look weird.
Vardy's bulletproof confidence really does translate to England as well. The interception he made for the eventual penalty that Kane missed was brilliant. And the goal had a sort of poacher's quality to it as well. And there's a thing about Jamie Vardy where when he scores a goal, he gets this little slightly demonic look in his eye where you can see he's happy that he scored a goal for himself, but he's also happy that he's inflicted misfortune on someone else.
The size of his mouth will turn like a weird smile. Yeah, I've noticed that as well. I thought it was interesting. Turkey are an all right team. I mean, I know their record against England is poor overall, but they're decent.
They've never scored against us before.
I was surprised to hear that. Yeah.
I was very surprised, yeah.
But they're not far behind us in the rankings, and as you say, they're in a good period.
Yeah, I mean, with England, I thought...
They got a good manager as well.
They do have a decent manager, yeah. I think it was Gary Lineker who tweeted, by the looks of this England side, we look quite good going forward, but very, very nervous at the back.
Yeah.
That's pretty much true.
I think, yeah.
They've got to attack. They have to.
The defending for the first goal was generally quite bad, but what was a little worrying was there seemed to be a kind of quite casual attitude to defending on corners, generally.
Yeah.
Which is something, obviously, that's going to cost you if you don't tighten it up. I don't think they're
necessarily weak on the flanks. I think Rose and Walker are decent. I think they're obviously athletes as well. I think centre-backs is tricky.
Smalling to still come back in.
They don't have a... He's got to come back in. I thought Stones did okay. Yeah, he sort of did. He still makes some odd decisions. There's one point towards the end of the game where instead of just playing a really simple pass back to the keeper, but to be clear, he chested it over the striker's head and he got away with it. But it's a bit like... I'm sure you want to be doing that. But I still think that formation that Hodgson played, which is he started off with a 4-3-3, I don't think that lends itself to England
in
the players they've got.
The midfield three, I mean, if you've got Dyer, whether it be Wilshere or Henderson, depending on who you're playing, in Dele Alli, I think that's quite a decent...
Because I would prefer to play Dyer and Drinkwater with Alli behind the striker in a 4-2-3-1.
Do you think there's much value in the talk of Wayne Rooney playing in the middle?
But also, I mean, it's interesting.
He's
going to
try him, isn't he? He's going to try him.
But I think Hodgson will be playing a 4-3-3 or a 4-4-2 diamond. That's pretty much what they've
been. It's surprising to see Jack Wilshere play like a player who hasn't been around the England squad for absolutely ages.
He looked absolutely knackered. Yeah. Like a man who's played 10 games in 2 years.
I was 10 games, Jim? That's a bit generous. 10 minutes?
Yeah, I was in the garden. I was sat in the living room on my own, going, why is he even playing? What's he doing?
But he's got to give him a bit of match time, I suppose.
Yeah. But why does he have to do that?
Well, because he wants to pick him and he's good enough to play.
Well, he's assessing him now, isn't he, to see if he's actually at the required level. And it's tough for him because he hasn't really got time, has he, to get back to that level?
It's not his fault.
No, of course not.
I just don't think, and I also think if they play two in front of a back four with Dyer and Wilshere, they're going to look too light.
But do you not think that if he doesn't perform very well, and I presume he'll play again because goodness knows he needs the match fitness, but he needs the air miles, but he'll still stay in the squad though, won't he? That's the annoying thing.
I would think
he'll never get sent home.
But if he did start,
get himself sent home.
I don't care about boss.
If he's not starting, as you saw against Manchester City when Arsenal played, though, he can come on and have an impact.
Yeah, he can do that, yeah. I'm not suggesting he shouldn't be part of the squad necessarily. Mm. I personally don't think he's earned the right to be in the squad because I think the players who England have qualified for, have used to qualify, and the fact that Leicester and Spurs, who have been the two standout sides in England this season, are full of English players, mean that he shouldn't necessarily be called upon. And they say, look, you know, you're important to us in the qualifying campaign towards the beginning, and obviously you're a good player, but it's not your fault you got injured, but it's not the England team's fault either.
No. So, I think the fact that he is the type of England player that there's no real England player that is quite like him.
Well, that's what Hodgson has said, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I understand it's not like he's Lionel Messi or something, and it's like, well, we desperately need him and wrapping up in cotton wool, like all that business with Beckham and Owen in previous tournaments. But I understand.
Kieran Dyer, can we not forget
and
that?
And Gareth Barry.
Yeah, that's
World
right.
Cup.
Did Kieran Dyer make the squad?
No, Dyer would have been 2002, I think. I think he got he was the solution on the left hand side. Do you remember? And I think he might have got an injury just before the tournament. Everyone was like, oh my God, what are we going to do with that Kieran Dyer?
And Gareth Barry was ahead of World Cup 2010.
Yeah.
And then he played against Germany and looked like a 60 year old man.
Well, there we are. And we look forward to more of England soon.
Yeah.
Sadly. let's move on. FA VARs happened. Morpeth Town 4, Hereford 1. The underdogs win the trophy. The big story from that was 45-year-old Chris Swales becoming one of... Is it Swales? Became one of Wembley's oldest finalists and, of course, was on the score sheet. Now, this is a man who has previously undergone a number of heart operations and has retired twice.
12 years older than me and he's scoring in a Wembley final.
That's outrageous. Absolutely wonderful. It's been quite a journey for Hereford, so shame for them, of course, but great for Morpeth Town.
Yeah, I mean, I have to be perfect. I've never even heard of Morpeth Town.
I hadn't either.
I need to work on my grassroots knowledge.
Or old Chris.
No, or old Chris.
The epitome of a lovely old job.
I've heard of Chris Wales. Everyone's heard of him.
Oh, of course you have. FC Halifax won the FA Trophy, beating the Grims 1-0 in the final.
The Grims, is that their nickname?
They sound like they should play Morpeth Town in some sort of Scottish derby.
Yeah. Can we talk about the Scottish Cup?
Yeah, what a game.
Right? It's obviously, I support the magnificent Gorgie boys and so on, but the scenes in that was a wonderful final. It really was.
Apart from the fighting.
That wasn't so good. Someone punched the horse.
They did, on the bum.
Someone punched a police horse on the bum.
Pete, you must be gutted about that.
That's both ends sorted. We've had the front and the back, now just the sides.
It's like a tag team.
Yeah.
Survivor Series type against
the horse. Can't go in too far, because you hand up the bum, pull out a calf, you never know what's going to happen.
also, you get at the end of a horse
pregnant
kick.
Horses on active duty with the police. Is that something that still happens?
Well, the horses never sort of go to their duty officer and go, oh, I'm sorry, I'm pregnant. Maybe they don't even notice. So they just manage to think the horse is getting fat.
Oh, man. Anyway, Hibs end their 140-year wait for the Scottish Cup.
He's doing it again.
I know he is. And I'm carrying on.
Thanks.
140 years, crazy. Big old pitch invasion, of course, full time.
Anthony Stokes was in rare form.
He really was. He was excellent.
Is he on loan from Celtic as well at the moment?
Yeah. Oh, how about
that's
that?
Hurt.
For the Jers.
Yeah.
The teddy bears.
Yeah, hurt them.
The first half of that game was frantic. The first 10 minutes of that match were like what the last 10 minutes of a cup final should be like. It was incredible.
I very accurately said last week that if you want to watch the Scottish Cup final, you must have rocks in your head. I watched it.
Better than the FA Cup final.
And enjoyed it.
Am I right in thinking there was a 106-year-old Hibs fan in there?
There was. He's originally from Belize.
Didn't he have a strange job? What did he do? Was he a tree fella or something?
Oh.
I think he might have been a tree fella.
I'll tell you what.
Not tree fella. A tree fella. Who's a fella?
That a lumberjack.
Sorry, no.
Yeah, I just said,
he's not a tree man.
Call lumberjacks.
Tree men. That's why he's so old.
It took me an alarming amount of time to get that.
Yeah, they know how old he is because of all the rings.
Yeah, exactly.
He's 106 years old, and he's originally from Belize, came over to...
Yeah, he's not originally Scottish at that age, is he?
No, of course not. He originally came over to...
Three Scottish people.
He originally came over to Scotland in the 40s after the war, of course. Mm. And the funny thing is, 106 years old, Hibbs hadn't won the cup in his lifetime until now, which was quite
incredible.
Can I also say, I don't mean to have a go at old people, because I'm generally a big fan and I respect old people very much.
Big fan of old people.
Has it really come to this?
All old people.
Listen to what I'm about to say.
Some old people will be terrible.
Listen to what I'm about to say.
Some of my best friends are old people.
Do you remember that guy? Do you remember that guy who was like the oldest plumber in London? And he ran the marathon. Do you remember the story? A number of years ago, I'll tell you this, I'll bring it up to speed. A number of years ago, there was a company in the UK called Pimlico Plumbers based in... And there was a guy who was working for them, and there was a big newspaper story about how he was the oldest still working employee in the UK, and he was apparently 100 or 101.
Right? Wow.
And he looked like Uncle Albert from Only Fools and Horses.
Yep.
And the thing was, it became clear after a while that this is like a story he had told.
Yeah.
Might not have been true and has gone way too far. And before he knew it, he was doing like charity runs for London Marathon. And he said, and then he started saying, "Oh, I can't actually remember how old I am." Turned out he's about 81.
Yeah,
still impressive.
Yeah, good. Yeah,
classic.
That's
but I know what you mean.
It's still impressive, Marcus, and that's why it's so disappointing.
Yeah,
he's gone too far. Yeah, like the guy who took £1 million when he cheated on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Take half a
Take
million.
Half.
No one's
going to notice.
He's flown too close to the sun.
He certainly has.
He's dead now. He died.
Do you remember?
Fit pipes too near the sun.
Again, I respect
we're talking about a man dying here. What about
the old folks are losers? Do you remember that Air song? They can't work computers.
We're still on.
Yeah.
I'd like to distance myself from everything involved.
Even my own comments
all
about
I'm
the Scots.
Is, all I'm
Help
saying,
the engine!
All I'm saying about the Scottish thing is the guy definitely 106?
Yeah.
Okay.
He is. He's been wheeled out a lot recently.
I believe you. Then please continue.
Yeah. But do you remember the wonderfully named Dickie Borthwick?
Yes, I do, yeah.
72 and he was still playing...
On the wing, yeah.
He wasn't a winger. He was. I think he was like a defensive mid or something, but the article
still
was
amazing.
The oldest winger in town. That was what the article was. He was 72 and I think he was playing not in a veterans team, was he?
He's probably absolutely roasting Andrea Pirlo in MLS.
More on that later.
Wow.
But it was a great win. Going back to him, the second half was decent. Great strike from Halliday for Rangers, but Hibbs rallied.
Beauty, that.
Was a lovely one. Yeah. And Hibbs rallied and I spoke to my mate.
Kenny Miller, powerful header as well.
Oh, great header, yeah. He should have
scored another one.
He had a second, actually. A friend of mine who, I think I may have talked about this chant before, that the Airdrie fans, who are kind of like the Millwall of Scotland, that's not official, but if you've been there, you'll know what I mean. At the end of a game, if it's not going too well and they're a bit annoyed, they'll start chanting, "On the park, on the park." So obviously, let's get on the park and get stuck in. mate of mine, massive Hibs fan. And I text him, how's it all going, and blah, 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 blah. And I just got back in capital letters, "On the park, on the park, on the park." But he just said, it was so emotional. And I said to him, "I'll call you tomorrow." And he said, "Leave it another day." I phoned him today, Monday afternoon. His voice is ruined. I could hardly hear him. And he was just going, it was so emotional. He said, fully grown men, not just tears in their eyes, bawling. Because
did you see the fans trying to celebrate with Alan Stubbs? He was fuming.
Yeah, he was.
He was like waving them away, pushing them away.
What I find so funny is, and it was a minority, and I don't want to concentrate too much time there, but the minority who started getting stuck in with the Rangers fans and all that kind of nonsense.
That's the way you want to celebrate a cup win.
I don't get
Go
that.
Go out hoping to get in a fight.
You've got such a jubilant feeling that you've seen your team lift a very important trophy the first time in 114 years. It's absolutely incredible. You are full of joy.
It takes a shine off, doesn't it?
That joy turns to absolute rage in seconds.
Yeah.
I don't get that.
Swinging around the corner flag, which seemed thicker than a usual corner flag.
Yeah.
Oh, there was
really
a guy.
It looked really big.
Luckily.
but a great win
for him.
Well
done for him, anyway.
I just think he might have brought his own corner flag that's thicker than the average corner flag.
Yeah.
So
you
can swing it around.
Sorry, you can't bring that to the ground. I'm the corner flag man. In you come.
In you come. That's a gun.
I'm just putting it back.
Yeah.
Why? In case there's extra time. Wait a minute.
were people stealing the turf as well?
I don't know. I didn't see so much of that. No. I didn't hear reports.
That tends to happen.
But it was an incredible time. So well done, Hibbs. Still in the championship, though. Now. I had to have one. No, it was a great win. Well done. Celtic have appointed Brendan Rodgers as their manager.
Okay.
Apparently, they asked him, "Do you want to join?" He said, "Okay." That's a fantastic appointment.
It really is.
That really is. Because Celtic, obviously, they won't wait till May next year to win the league, you wouldn't imagine, with Rodgers, but they're a Champions League. Efforts the coming season, next season rather, should be much better with Rodgers in charge. You would think,
because he was brilliant in the Champions League of Liverpool.
No, come on. But think you would, with that experience under his belt, surely. I mean, Ronnie Daler was...
You're surprisingly positive about this move. I'm not sure I would be quite so...
I think it's a great sign.
I think it is, but I don't think they can realistically expect to light up the Champions
League.
They're
going to get the semi-finals.
No, you're saying they're going to win it, and it's ridiculous.
Fine. How foolish of me to get excited about Scottish football.
He's had his teeth done.
Yeah.
Has he?
They're not very Scottish teeth for me now.
Oh, come on, Pete.
Bring it.
Marcus, because us English have wonderful.
Well, first of all, Mark, Pete, I'm criticising you for that on the record. Secondly, it's partly your fault for talking about Scottish football for too long.
Yeah, exactly.
What did you expect?
Mark Warburton, Rangers are back in the league, and he worked with Rodgers at Watford. How about that?
What a rivalry.
Kilmarnock stay in the top flight.
I've got some.
You've gone too far.
All right, let's talk more about football.
Oh, you got to add break. Do you want a bit of Scotland?
I've got a bit of Scotland
lovely. For you, right? Okay,
Is it a tonic caramel wafer? We don't usually use.
To apologise to the Scottish, I'm going to read out this cracking news story that Slim, friend of the Ramble.
He's an East Fife fan.
He's from East Fife.
We should say. That's very important.
The news story is: footballer threatened to slit police officer's throat, hearing told.
Former
Partick footballer Derek Lyle allegedly threatened to slit the throat of a police officer. It emerged during attempts to thwart his bid to become a director of a single cab taxi firm. That's just a car, isn't it?
Bleak.
Police Scotland objected to the Queen of the South veteran taking on the role at his mother's company, citing previous convictions and forthcoming court cases involving allegations of assaulting or impeding the police.
Mother's company.
This isn't where the story
driving his mum's car
gets
around.
Good. The allegations follow.
The
allegations follow incident at a pub. Blah blah blah. Mr. Lyle is alleged to have told one officer who attempted to ascertain his identity, "You're getting it, you turkey," and calling him, "You wee scone."
Scone.
Scone, yes, yeah, old scone then, right? Yeah,
no, scone, you'd be
Marcus,
right, scone.
Marcus, would you describe that as a stramash?
he is also alleged to have called the same officer a wee bovril.
And is accused of adding,
"You're a wee Jobsworth. If I ever find a link to you, they're getting it."
Yeah, we definitely.
I'm telling you right now, when I get out, I'll be carnage.
Let's get Marcus to call someone. Do it. Do you wee bovril in Scotland?
You wee bovril.
You wee bovril.
I'll slit your throat, you wee bovril. That's probably what he said. Deary me. Right, ad break, quickly.
Louis van Gaal, you got management master, the king amongst men, you big bald bastard.
The Copa del Rey happened, and Barcelona won it. That was a feisty... Talking of feistiness, and now we've been mentioning Scotland there. Barcelona, Mascherano was sent off in the first half.
I'm amazed that he wasn't allowed to just pay an on-the-spot fine and stay on the pitch.
and Sevilla had two players sent off as well. It was quite something.
After Mascherano went, Sevilla threw absolutely everything at them. And actually, it sounds ridiculous to say of Barcelona, but they did do really well to hang in there.
But you think with Sevilla, you know, they're a good cup side... Barcelona played, you know, what, the last sort of 10 or 12 minutes of the first half with 10 men and the whole of the second half, of course. They'll look back on that and think, man, we should have capitalised on that.
Absolutely. Really. I mean, they would really badly have wanted to do the double. It's a real shame for them they couldn't. But, you know, Barcelona have got that quality, haven't they? They only need half a chance. Messi's work for Neymar's goal, the second one, which is absolutely sublime.
Well, and what I love... to Jordi Alba for the first.
Well, yeah. What I love is that they all get little replicas of the cup. Which they celebrate with. Did you see that?
The captain lifts
the main cup and everyone's got their own tiny little cup.
Little leg cups.
I thought it was nice. A lot of people got in touch. I forgot to mention during the FA Cup final on that note, Jim. A lot of people said that Wayne Rooney showed a real touch of class getting Carrick up there with him.
And apparently
Rooney also insisted all the players, the Man United players, went over to console the Palace players.
That's good.
But most of them just ignored him. Wayne Rooney did it on his own. Which I thought was a nice captain's touch.
Should Bards congratulate the Man United?
Bards was long gone.
Out of there.
He was in crystals.
"I don't feel like dancing, no, so not dancing today." That's what he said.
Mascherano's foul. It was such a professional foul, wasn't it? A strange decision. We talk about Chris Smalling. Decision being a strange one. Mascherano, I know Gamera's got a bit of pace and he's obviously gone past him there, but you know you're going to get sent off.
What was the score at the time?
0-0.
Exactly, yeah.
But 36 minutes in or something.
This season, more than any other I can remember in recent memory, professional fouls, they're a lot more pervasive this season. I don't know whether it's the breakaway nature of the league I watch the most, the Premier League. Yeah. They just seem to be they're happening all over the pitch. Start giving them reds, straight reds. See what happens.
I think it's Mourinho who said years ago now... you know, if we're playing properly and we're tactically good and we're defending solidly, like, I mean, that sort of breakaway type thing is probably not going to happen that often because we're a good team. So if it does happen, don't take the risk.
Yeah, also, but the thing is, though, it's a very, very fast game. Half a second out, it might as well be a week out. You know what I mean? Yeah. It can make such a big difference.
But the defender thinks he can get there and that sort of stuff. But the point Mourinho was making was, if we lose a goal, we can deal with that.
Yeah.
If we lose a player after half an hour, it's a lot harder. So you've got to make the right decision.
I love that Mourinho story about Mario Balotelli. And I may have said it before, but I'm going to say it again, damn it all. When he said, into a plane away.
Was it when Balotelli was the only striker they had?
Yeah. They were away in Eastern Europe somewhere. Maybe CSKA Moscow, somewhere like that. Tough place to go, obviously, the cliches. And Inter had only one striker. Everyone else was out, Melito and whoever it was, maybe Samueletto. So Balotelli started the game. No strikers on the bench. Mm. And Balotelli got a yellow card in the first half and was a bit feisty. Mourinho said he's got 15 minutes to talk to the players at halftime. He said about 13 of those minutes was telling Balotelli not to do anything stupid, not to get any, you know, be too feisty, just take it easy. He said, 46 minute, bang, second yellow. And to be fair to Marina, she's laughing about it when he told the story.
Laughing about it because he's no longer managing here.
Yeah. And he had the last laugh.
Speaking of which, Latan's been linked with United.
He has been.
I'm disappointed in this. Yeah. I want Latan to come to Arsenal and bring Maxwell with you. Everyone likes Maxwell.
Apparently, Arsenal, his agent was trying to tell Ibrahimovic to Arsenal, and Arsenal,
the most unlikely player to go to Arsenal.
I don't care. I don't care if it meant the whole thing came down in flames. I just love it.
You're just playing Zlatan and Peter Cech, that's it.
Yeah. But yeah, PSG, they beat Marseille in the Coupe de France. 4-2, Ibrahimovic has got a double. They secured a domestic treble. I think that was why Hibs' victory in the Cup was such a great result on the weekend of all these Cup competitions, because Barcelona beat Sevilla, you know, PSG beat Marseille, Bayern beat Dortmund, Juventus beat Milan, Manchester United beat Crystal Palace. It was the only kind of underdog, although I know they're not that much of an underdog compared to Rangers, but still Rangers were promoted and Hibs weren't. If Palace had won as well, you know, it would have been brilliant.
Palace winning the Cup would have been a really nice compliment to Leicester winning the league.
Absolutely.
As well.
Yeah. Blooming-lutely, Jim, yeah. And, of course, as we say in the German Cup, Bayern beat Dortmund on pens.
Yeah, that was a pulsating 0-0. That was actually a really, really good game. Mm. And I really feel for Dortmund, because obviously Mats Hummels going to Bayern now, and is that the third summer in a row they've lost one of their best players to Bayern?
Lewandowski and
Goetze as well.
He signed today, didn't he? There was a press release today.
Mm. And I think they lost the Cup last year, didn't they? Mm. In Klopp's final game.
Well, Klopp's got a bit, as we said before, Klopp's building a bit of a reputation of an Arsene Wenger-esque reputation, shall we say, of losing a European Cup final.
Well, no, Cup finals in general, obviously Wenger doesn't have that, having won
won the most FA Cups of any manager, I think.
Hence I said European Cup final.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. England's in Europe, so
not for long. Vote out.
Yeah. Hashtag Brexit.
Seriously, don't.
Yeah. Hashtag please remain. Don't.
Yeah, please stay.
Because I need somewhere to run to when the police are on my tail.
Mm-hmm.
That make it harder.
What?
Well, if we voted out, you would. They wouldn't. Other European police would find it hard to come.
Yeah, whatever Pete finds, I'm going to vote to stay in. No matter what Pete's doing.
There's not. I mean, Pete's potential sort of violations of criminal law are not a reason to stay in or leave the EU.
No,
very much your problem, Pete, as well.
Yeah. And Interpol's.
What did you declare your own super state? Declare your own micro state.
Yeah, one of those little oil rigs off the coast of England. Lovely.
Sealand.
Excellent stuff. And in the Coppa Italia, Juventus, the old lady, beat Milan 1-0 after extra time. They end the season with a double. They become the first side to do consecutive domestic doubles. That's the thing to do, Jim. Barcelona.
What a weekend for Cup.
Bayern. Hasn't happened for a while, has it?
Juventus, yeah. Well, obviously PSG did a treble.
In the future, they'll do all of the Cup finals back-to-back.
Do you think?
In the same stadium.
That'd be quite nice, wouldn't it? Alvaro Morata, he came on and scored. Arsenal interested in him, Jim?
Yeah, he's a fine
another striker
Morata,
who doesn't score too many
goals. Well, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's his 12th goal in about 48 games.
47.
No, no, he's one of those players where people go, oh, but, you know, it's all potential, isn't it?
He's a good player.
I've heard he's the new Henry.
I don't think he's going to improve us.
He's a good player, but you need someone like Higuain.
Absolutely.
But
there's only so many of those to go around, isn't there?
Only so many heroes. Two of them here. MLS time. New York City FC 0, New York Red Bull 7.
This was astounding. It was an amazing stat before the game, right?
It's an absolute disgrace.
New York Red Bull it's a really odd stat, this. They hadn't scored from a corner in the whole season. They got like five in this game.
Some of the defending for dead ball situations, which was just incredible.
Oh man, it was an early kickoff, and some of the defenders were still having breakfast.
Also, Patrick Vieira, obviously manager of New York City, made some strange, like, quotes afterwards.
What do you say, though? I mean, after that.
Well, I'll tell you what you don't say. It's always better to lose one game 7-0 than seven games 1-0.
It's rarely a straight choice between the two, though, isn't it?
Before the game, I knew we were not a perfect team, and after the game, I can tell you we aren't the worst team. We're the worst team today.
In New York. Old Lamps was booed when he came on.
Yeah,
They really hate him over there. They really think he's a waste of time because he's been injured a lot of the time and just picking up the paychecks and stuff. But he can't help being injured.
That's the weird thing as well.
Most will probably pick him for England.
Yeah. I tell you, the way New York City FC are playing, I'm going out to New York in a couple of weeks. I might go and see them play. I'll bring me boots. At least I'll run. Yeah. You know, more than most of the midfield are doing.
Pirlo, obviously, just seems like he barely has any legs left. Villa as well. It's surprising.
The cult of Pirlo knows no bounds. Today, I saw a couple of news outlets going, Pirlo's been passed over for the Italy squad for the Euro.
Because he insists on carrying a glass of red wine with him as he plays.
Presumably they don't play in smoking jackets.
And he's grown roots. They can't transport him without the relevant EU licences.
See, what I started to say, though, is I think Lampard's the biggest surprise there because he's always worked really, really hard. The season he spent on loan at Man City last year, which seems mad to say now, he was excellent.
And yeah, but he's not there to work, is he?
But that's what's surprising. You would think Lampard would be like that.
Jim, OK, answer me this, right? You start yourself off at a new job, and you've worked really hard in previous jobs, and you've earned.
I already cannot relate.
too far.
All right.
There's no point asking Pete, either.
Yeah, I was going to say.
What's a job?
Okay. Use all of your imagination here. Yeah. Start the job, and you're sitting next to Andrea Pirlo.
Yeah.
And you think to yourself, I could work hard, but Pirlo's going, don't worry about that. Let's go for another glass of wine and a pizza. Yeah. All right, are you really going to put a shift in?
Maybe when you put it like that. If I can have wine and pizza with Pirlo, you're probably right.
I mean, David Villa has...
there.
Yeah, absolutely. David Villa has played pretty well at times for New York City FC, but he was up against it there. But I mean,
up against the might of Bradley Wright Phillips.
Well, I was about to say, I know Bradley Wright Phillips is good, but I didn't realise
he rinsed
it.
At that level, he is genuinely a good player.
He scored a lot of goals for them.
I saw him play a couple of seasons ago, I think it was, and he was decent.
I love that.
He stood out.
I love the Wright Phillips brothers being out there. And
Sean on the bench, obviously.
I can't think, and I was really trying to think earlier, and I got criticised by a listener last week for saying I couldn't think of something, and he tweeted me saying, well, you couldn't think of it. What about this, this, and this? And I was like, yeah, well, I couldn't think of it. Thanks for bringing me up to speed, but at the time, I couldn't think of it. That's why I'd said it. Would you rather go back in time and change it?
Well, after I heard that and I had a think about it and had a little Google, I think you meant this.
I'll tell you what it was. I couldn't think of the last time a Premier League team had won 11 away games in a season.
Oh, yeah.
And he just gave me a load of them. I was like, well, brilliant. I appreciate that. Now I know. But I didn't know at the time.
Maybe we should start releasing patches where we just correct all the mistakes we've made.
Like Apple, every time you turn your MacBook on.
Yeah. And that is the first special next month.
Yeah. But what I wanted to say was that I can't think of a derby, because that is technically a local derby, where the score has been worse one or the other. Mm. I mean, obviously, City beat United 6-1. I can't think of a 7-goal margin in a derby.
Swamp.
At the Swamp, exactly. Can you think of one?
Yeah,
I'd love people to get in touch.
I don't want to say it. I might be able to think of one. I might not be. I might just be withholding it from you.
Yeah, to say so.
Yeah. But don't stick your neck out, guys.
Don't get in touch and say, oh, yeah, the Red Lion, we beat, the Dog and Duck 6.
Oh, I think there's a story behind it.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Do get in touch with that.
True enough. Right, let's go to the highlights of the week with Luke Moore.
All right, everyone.
Hi, Luke Moore.
Hi, Luke.
I actually had to put on the Facebook today, highlights of the week, please. Take Alan Pardew's dance as red. We're going to cover that earlier. I don't want to waste your time and mine by shifting through them all. So please do ignore that. Most people ignored it, still did it.
Yeah, of course. You can't blame them.
I sort of respect
you
that.
You mentioned it. It got excited.
So, because the whole season, that's the thing, the whole Pardew chat has been boiling up to this, and we got it. Yeah.
Anyway,
he didn't let us down.
Got three usable ones that went about Alan Pardew. Williams, he says, scoring in a cup final last week and a 2-0 win for my team to win the trophy for the first time in 36 years. I did email you the details. Bit passive-aggressive there, Sean. hashtag dare to Sean.
Okay.
So he's done well. Michal Maguire, which is a great name.
It is, yeah.
Maguire. Has he been in touch before?
So he should have. It sounds like he was on Beverly Hills 90210.
On his way to a friend of the Ramble status at some point.
Yeah.
A great advert for the Premier League, says Wayne Rooney, clearly forgetting that he's just won the FA Cup. finally, this one for you to comment on, Jim. Actually, based on what you said earlier, Josh Bax, discovering that Arsenal's official Twitter feed do a daily media watch which mostly seems to link them to players they won't sign.
This is absolutely astounding. I've never seen this before.
They're on Twitter.
They round up the rumours doing the rounds, which presumably they know whether it's true or not.
The veracity.
Because they are the club. It's ridiculous. Right,
keep them trekking along. Yeah. Tell you what, keep that bait dangling in the water.
Some red herrings.
Yeah. It's like when you got
see
the
if any of the players pipe up. It's interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
They tackle the players in.
Some of the people. Favourite.
Hello. Is that Alvaro Morata? Can you just follow us quickly? We can DM you.
When you go at the Emirates, when they read out the attendance, everyone goes, wait, because it's just crap.
Yeah,
every time.
You can physically see that it's not sold out very easily. Although, maybe guys just aren't turning up. Who knows?
Okay. Any other highlights?
That's all I've got. Thanks for bumping that out a bit for me, chaps.
Jimmy. A lot of people sort of tweeting me, sort of going, oh, I can't wait for Pete's reaction about the Palace. It's like, I'm sad about Crystal Palace losing. I'd like you
to be fair, mate. I think they're going to enjoy your rather sweary.
I've forgotten that rant about half an hour ago.
Wasn't a rant.
I was
pulling the pin on some truth grenades, Luke.
Yeah. Yeah. You remember what happened?
If that's not a rant, you would die if you actually ranted about him.
I was about to say, I think you did react. All right, Jim.
I just hope he's not there next season.
Jim.
Got a website roundup for you.
Thank you.
Okay, this week on the now Beach Ready Ramble website, a blast from the past as we revisit the dark side of football with Real Gothic, the team boasting the finest cheerleaders since... well, smoking was invented. John Parkin's exciting new approach to veganism, a quick catch-up with Andre Villas-Boas as he embarks on a new career washing dirty horses, and a full cup roundup. And by full, we mean including the Pardew dance. Follow Kelly at Kelly_Wells. She's washed a few horses in her time, never knowingly punched one.
Like. Yeah.
That Gothic football team was a really, really nice little documentary.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, well, there we are.
I will watch it. I've been busy. I will check it out, trust me.
Yeah, check it out. But do check out 44Toons, the excellent Dean over at 44Toons on YouTube. Animates us a little
every
bit.
Week.
Every mm-hmm. week.
He looks at our stupid cartoon faces.
Pete, you've been animated enough as it is today.
Yeah. Animate me down.
I'm going to tentatively and respectfully suggest he leaves you out of this one.
Remove some frames.
Yeah.
Mm. And of course, as Pete's message was at the start of the Ramble, there is a Ramble special this month where we profile Leicester City Football Club and their league title winning season. And it's a lot longer than the Dean Rowlands Hall of Fame profiles that we used to do in the past. Mm. We've reopened the Dean Rowlands Hall of Fame, and it's a big, beefy one.
I really enjoyed that. It was fun.
Yeah, it was great.
And I, no point, mentioned a bum hole. yeah, so if you want that, basically we give you highlights every single month. We give you highlights of a live show or a special, mm-hmm. like the Dean Rowlands Hall of Fame for Leicester. And we are going to be bringing you a special once a month, so you're going to be getting that every single month. You can buy them on iTunes or PayPal for $2.49, just like before. But for those of you who hate ads, and there are a few of you, mm-hmm. You can start to subscribe to us through the Acast app for $1.99 a month. It gives you access to the show ad-free, the Monday and Tuesday and Friday versions of it. Plus, you get the specials thrown in as well. A little bit cheaper and a little bit earlier than everyone else. Those of you listening to my voice now, nothing's going to change. Those of you listening through iTunes or however you get your podcast, it's all gravy. But if you want the specials and an ad-free ramble for a bit cheaper and a bit earlier, get yourself the Acast app.
Sorry, Pete, is anything going to change for me?
I'd like you to put your shirt back on.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, starting with your appearance. Yeah, marvellous, Peter. Marvellous. Right then, chaps, that's all for us, isn't it?
Mm.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye, Marcus.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Peter.
This show is nearly an hour long.
How long have we got? Speaking for a minute. A minute?
Yeah.
A minute.
You've not thought about the editing, have you?
Nah. Never mind.
We've not got a minute. We're going to go now. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.